Good morning. Our reading this morning is Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchreae, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Then he desired to cross to Achaia. The brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. As we turn to Acts 18:18-28 this morning, I've given my talk the title, Committed Christians. Committed Christians are vital for the forward movement of the Kingdom of God, for the spread of the Gospel, and for the work in every local church. I was reminded of this as I read the story of Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18, verses 18 to 28. They set us a tremendous example. As I trace the life of Aquila and Priscilla this morning and share lessons I have learned from them, I will from time to time take you to other passages of Scripture, so have your Bibles ready. And for a change, all my points will begin with the letter E. We're first introduced to Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18, verses 1 and 2. There we read, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Firstly, Aquila and Priscilla had been expelled from Rome. In his life of Claudius, the historian Suetonius records that as the Jews were indulging in constant riots at the instigation of Crestus, he banished them from Rome. Many see the reference to Crestus as a reference to Christ, and believe that the expulsion of Aquila and Priscilla was connected to that. It's quite likely that Aquila and Priscilla became Christians in Rome, and now, early on in their Christian life, they were uprooted because of their newfound faith. We can imagine their sadness, having to leave behind their home, their friends, their business contacts and flee to Corinth. It was tough for this Christian couple. Today, many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world have had to leave their homes because of persecution. Let us pray for them regularly. I often pray for them that they may have a special awareness that the Lord is with them, that they will know His comfort, His encouragement, His support, and His wisdom day by day. There are Christians in this country too who face challenging times. Let us pray for them as well. It was tough for Aquila and Priscilla, but it was also a time of preparation for future service. It was a time when they learned what was essential and what was not so important and could be left behind. They learned how to travel lightly. They learned that they could settle in a new community, make new friends, and prosper. All of these things were going to stand them in good stead for the future. And so they settled in Corinth. As we go on in our Christian lives too, do you like me, find that past experiences prepare us for future service? One of the things that Aquila and Priscilla did while they were in Corinth was to set up their business again, making tents. They were enterprising. They didn't spend their time bemoaning the fact that they had had to leave Rome. They didn't resort to begging. They had skills, and they set about establishing their business again. In verse 2 of chapter 18, we read that Paul, coming to Corinth, found Aquila and Priscilla. We're not told how Paul came to find them. It may be that he had heard of them and was looking for them. But verse 3 tells us that Paul stayed with them and worked with them because he too was a tent maker. It was so good to be reminded last Sunday by Chris Turner of the benefits of being a tent maker in the Lord's work. And not least because in that way we can identify closely with others in their daily work, and also in the course of our day-to-day work meet new people with whom we can share the gospel. My father was a tent-making pastor, and I was open to the possibility of being a tent-making pastor when I began my ministry. There are, of course, benefits in being able to be a full-time Christian worker. But no work should be left undone because a person is unwilling to be a tent-maker in the service of the Lord. Let us all be enterprising and pray that others will be enterprising for the kingdom of God as well. And then thirdly, Aquila and Priscilla used their home for the Lord. They entertained others. They were given to hospitality. And that was true wherever they lived. In Acts 18 and verses 1 to 3, they welcomed the Apostle Paul into their home. A little later, in verse 26, we read that Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos aside. Some Bible translators have used the word to their own home instead of the word aside. And many commentators interpret that word that way. That Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos into their home. But much more entertaining was to come. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19, when Paul wrote a letter to Ephesus. Oh, sorry, when Paul wrote a letter from Ephesus to the church in Corinth. He says the churches in Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Then sometime later, after they had returned to Rome, and Paul writes his letter to the Romans, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Aquila and Priscilla set us a wonderful example of Christian hospitality. People were welcomed into their home. Some visited, some stayed, and churches gathered there. Their homes were open homes for the Lord. Like Aquila and Priscilla, let us be entertainers for the Lord. However, let me add this. I recognize that not all of you will be in a position to entertain, certainly to the extent that Aquila and Priscilla did. But also, when you are able to entertain, it's important to remember that there will be times when you need a little time and a little space for yourself. And it's also important to remember that you don't have to be a master chef to entertain somebody for a meal. On Friday, we celebrated the 75th anniversary of VE Day. I was born about 18 months after the end of World War II. For the first 7 years of my life, food was rationed. And yes, there was a steady stream of visitors to my home. All of whom had a cup of tea and a cake. What was the centerpiece? Actually, the centerpiece was the Bible and discussions about the Lord, about Christian teaching, and about the church. That was why the people had gathered. As far as we are able, let us have homes that are open for the Lord's work. And then fourthly, Aquila and Priscilla became expatriates for the sake of the gospel and the establishment of churches. Having been forced to move house when they were expelled from Rome, it would not have seemed nearly as challenging for them to move from Corinth to Ephesus for the sake of the kingdom of God. Sometime after that, as we saw a moment ago, they returned to Rome. But that was still not the end of their travels. For in what is thought to be Paul's last letter to Timothy, Priscilla, or Prisca as she is called there, and Aquila were once again in Ephesus. Paul wrote to Timothy in Ephesus and said, greet Prisca and Aquila. That last move may have been the result of Nero's persecution of Christians in Rome, but it gave them an opportunity to once again be a part of the church there. Here was a couple who were prepared again and again to up sticks for the sake of the gospel. If the Lord wanted them in a different location, they were ready to go. Over the years, I have met men and women like Aquila and Priscilla who have been prepared to go to all sorts of locations for the sake of the gospel. Some have been very sophisticated places, some very primitive. and they have taken up residence in those places and become expats for the sake of the gospel. But I've also met the reverse. A friend of mine who worked for a major international company was offered promotion within the company, provided he would move to a new location. It was a very tempting offer, but then he thought about the church he served in a rural community and all those around who depended on him, and he declined the move for the sake of the gospel. The common thread between Aquila and Priscilla and my friend was commitment to the Lord and his word. Where they lived was of secondary importance. Priscilla and Aquila were expats for the sake of the gospel. And then fifthly, they became educators in the service of the Lord. In Acts 18, 24 and following, we are told that a Jewish Christian named Apollos came to Ephesus. Evidently, Apollos had a great grasp of the scriptures and began to speak boldly in the synagogue about the Lord. However, the scriptures tell us that he only knew about the baptism of John. So Aquila and Priscilla took him aside, probably to their home, and explained the way of God more accurately to him. Aquila and Priscilla were particularly concerned, as we see in verse 25, that Apollos only knew of the baptism of John, that is, John the Baptist. John the Baptist called on those who listened to him to be baptized, confessing their sin and looking to God for forgiveness. But following the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, baptism had taken on a new significance, as Peter declared in Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter called on people to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Why was that? Because Jesus had died, bearing the punishment his believing people deserved for their sin. And he had risen from the dead to represent them in heaven and give them eternal life. Baptism had taken on a whole new dimension. As Apollos went forward in the service of the Lord Jesus, it was important that he knew this. And so Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained this to him. I love the fact that they took Apollos aside. They didn't challenge him publicly, but privately. They didn't want to embarrass him, but to edify him, to build him up. They wanted him to be the best he could be in the service of the Lord. Quite easily they could have ducked out. But, and especially because he had such a high profile ministry, it was important that they spoke to Apollos. It's not always easy to do that, and especially today. And why do I say that? Because there are so many different strands of teaching around. And because we can be misunderstood. And people can think that we think we are superior to them. And it's also difficult because we can be rejected. That is why we need to pray for the Lord's help and wisdom whenever we engage with others in this way. But I would suggest that where a fellow believer loves the Lord and loves his word, there should be a willingness at least to receive what others have to say and to consider what they say in the light of Scripture, as we saw the Christians in Berea doing in Acts 17 and verse 11. The letter of Jude encourages us, contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. As we are able, let us be educators in the service of Christ. And then sixthly, Aquila and Priscilla were part of the church at Ephesus that encouraged Apollos as he set off for Achaia to strengthen the believers there and to share the gospel. The ministry of encouragement is really important, especially when people are setting out in the Lord's work and taking on a new challenge. You may remember the word of the Lord to Moses as Joshua was about to take over the leadership of the people of Israel. The Lord said to Moses, encourage him and strengthen him. Being in the front line of any ministry can be tough and challenging. So may we, like Aquila and Priscilla, be encouragers. Encouraging those who serve the Lord to remain close to him. Encouraging them to remain true to his word as they go forward in his name. And then finally, Aquila and Priscilla were prepared to endanger their lives for the sake of the gospel and the servants of God. They didn't expose themselves to unnecessary risks. If they were in danger and were able to do something about it, they did. And on at least one occasion, heeded the words of Jesus when he said, if they persecute you in this city, flee to another. But Paul also tells us in Romans 16, verse 3, that they risked their necks for my life. They risked their necks for my life. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. We're not told exactly what Aquila and Priscilla did, but there was clearly a time when Paul was in danger, possibly from the authorities, or from his own people. And Aquila and Priscilla stepped in to defend him. They were brave and courageous disciples of Jesus. And they were prepared to endanger their lives for Paul, their loyal friend. May the Lord help us also to be loyal to the family of believers. As I said at the beginning, committed Christians are vital to the forward movement of the kingdom of God. They are vital to the spread of the gospel. They are vital in the life of every local church. This morning, Aquila and Priscilla set us a tremendous example. May we be inspired by them. Amen.